The scriptures have a lot to say about women. From the time of creation, God created humanity in two genders, a male and a female, Adam and Eve. Since all women have lived in a world affected by sin, because of Adam and Eve, they have had to deal with less than ideal circumstances. When you think about some of the women of the Bible, Sarah, she had problems with infertility and a child of her husband with another woman. Deborah dealt with a nation that was afraid of their enemies, and a man who didn't want to lead the nation's army into battle against their enemies, so she had to join the leadership of the army. Hannah was married to a bigamist, as well as having infertility problems. Rahab grew up in a society that did not practice the principles found in the Word of God. She was a prostitute before joining God's people and getting married. Ruth was a widow who wanted to take care of her mother-in-law, who was also a widow. She moved away from the culture she knew and adopted new customs and a different people as his own. Esther was an orphan raised by a single man, her cousin. And she became part of a pagan king's harem. Mary became pregnant while she was engaged, as she agreed to carry out God's plan for her life and God's plan for salvation of humanity. But women are listed as some of the people in the text that we call the Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of the Scriptures. This chapter contains a list of individuals who demonstrated sincere faith. And women have been important characters influencing the future of mankind from the very beginning. Today I want to focus on two women who are mentioned only once in the Bible. We don't know much about their lives, but we know about their faith and about their influence. They were Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. They were an example that other believers should follow in the two areas that we were going to address this morning: their devotion to God and their dedication to the study and the teaching of the scriptures, especially towards her son and grandson. And we don't know if she had more children as well. But if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of 2 Timothy, where they are the only place where they are mentioned. And I'm going to read two passages that we're going to be looking at this morning. The first one is in chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, and the second one is in chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 1 and the end of chapter 3. So let me read verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remembered you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And then I'm going to skip to chapter 3, verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, totally equipped for every good work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you will be with us as we look at this passage of the Scriptures and as we look at the life of Lois and Eunice. Lord, I pray that you will help us to see the importance of the Scriptures in our lives and the importance that we and the opportunity we have, and how important it is for us to transmit the knowledge of the scriptures to the subsequent generations, to the generations that are coming up, Lord, to our children and grandchildren. And I pray that you will put that desire in our hearts this morning and sear it there, Lord, and help us to bring it to mind, and so that we will put it into practice each time we have an opportunity. I pray that you will bless all the mothers here and the fathers as well. And may the knowledge of you be spread as we study your word. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is writing, this is probably the last letter we have from the Apostle Paul. He's writing it from jail, and probably his second imprisonment in Rome. And he's mentioning several people have deserted me. Others are away and fulfilling different duties. And he's alone. He has had time to remember his experiences throughout his life. He's pretty sure that by now that he will not come out alive. In previous letters, when he writes Thessalonians, and he says, "We who are alive, we will be raised together, and we will meet the Lord in the air," putting himself as the group that is going to meet him. But now time has gone by. I don't know how much revelation he has received from Christ, but he knows the time of his departure is soon. Even the tone of his letter is different. And in that time that he's alone, now that there are not a lot of... he's not surrounded by as many people as even in his first imprisonment, he's been thinking about people he has met throughout his life. And also, he's also thinking, I imagine, about the way that God has worked in the lives of believers through centuries. So in verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did." So he's, and the forefathers, he's thinking about the ancestors he had, not just his father and grandfather, but he's thinking about Abraham and all the Jewish people that came before him and that served God. And he said, "I'm serving the same God, and I'm serving him with a pure conscience, and I'm without ceasing, continuously, I'm remembering you, Timothy, in my prayers, day, night and day. I think about you, and I really want to see you." Probably the last time they were together, Timothy maybe was afraid he would not see him again, and he shed some tears with him, and he's remembering, "greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy." I want to see you to be full with joy again, and each time I think about it, day and night, I'm thinking about your tears. And I'm thinking it was probably the last time they were together. "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you," and as he is analyzing just the way that God has worked out through humanity and through his forefathers, and now through him, and he's been in jail a great part of his ministry. He was probably free for 2 or 3 years, and then he's back in jail again. He's also looking at Timothy's faith and just thinking of him is like the faith of that young man, I guess the way that Paul would see him, is real. He really believes what he's preaching. And I can see him in his ministry. His faith is genuine. He's not putting it up or making it up. He's without hypocrisy. He's sincere. He's lacking in pretense. It's not just a show. He's just displaying for me each time he sees me. He really trusts God. He really believes in God. And he says, "When I think about you and I pray for you, I think about that faith that you have. But then I also remember the same faith. I saw it dwelling..." Maybe I should turn on the light. It's getting too dark. The clouds are coming. Oops, wrong light. But I also... saw the same faith dwelling, living in your mother and in your grandmother. And I don't know how long Paul spent with Timothy's mom and grandmother, but whatever time he spent with them, it made an impression of him, the fate of these women. They were just like the other women that I mentioned at the beginning of in our introduction. It wasn't... They had several difficulties to deal with. They were living in a Greek culture, in a Greek city, and I think it was Lystra, and she was married to a Greek man. In fact, she didn't have Timothy circumcised as a little boy, but something that was really valuable and for them, it was for her child to be able to know the scriptures. She figured out, if I can give something valuable to my kid that is really important, is for me to teach him the scriptures. Not just about the scriptures, or not just take him to synagogue, or just teach him about God, but I want him to know the scriptures. And here we have a woman who is taking upon herself, I guess she would not expect it from her husband, to teach her children the Word of God. So even with the difficulties that she found, she did it. And Paul is thinking about it. He said, those two women were full of faith. Their faith was sincere. I saw the same faith that you have, Timothy, in your mother and your grandmother. So as we move forward, how, as we think about Mother's Day, and this goes for the fathers too, but sometimes... it is important. It's good that to have a leader in the house, and it's good when the man is the leader of the house, the spiritual leader of the house. Sometimes, like in the household of Timothy, that did not happen. Eunice and Lois took it upon themselves to guide Timothy into the knowledge of the scriptures. But if you have both a father and a mother and a mother who can teach the scriptures to the children, I think that's the ideal situation. So, how can you be good to the next generation? What's the best thing you can do for your children as a mother or as a grandmother? And two things. Have a sincere faith, just like Lois and Timothy and Eunice. And then if you have a sincere faith, you really believe, and I'm not thinking about, when I say faith, and I'll probably mention it again, I'm not saying that you believe that God exists. The way that they showed their faith is that they believed that the scriptures were the word of God, and they were so valuable that they needed to spend time teaching it to their children. That's how Paul was able to tell that their faith was genuine. It was not just a faith, yes, I believe God exists, and I just worship God the way I want him, the way I think I should worship him. But they say, no, these scriptures are truly the word of God. So I'm going to make sure that my children have them for the next generation. So the first thing is, have a sincere faith. Now, how did they show it? Through the teaching of the scriptures. That's my second point. That's my last point. Use your opportunities to teach the scriptures. So if you really have a genuine faith, then you should show it by talking about the scriptures of the God that you worship. And it's incredible that as we move to chapter 3, that probably the most, the passage where we have in the scriptures, where the process of inspiration of the scriptures is given, is the result of Paul thinking about the ministry of those two women to Timothy. And let's go to chapter 3. That's where we're going to look at our second point. But you, and he's talking to Timothy, and he's contrasting this with the behavior of other people. You need to continue the things what you have learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And some people say, well, that he learned everything from Paul. But in the very next verse, he says that since from childhood, he's not pointing out that yes, Timothy needed to continue the things that Paul he learned from Paul, but I think Paul's point here is it goes farther back than the ministry of Paul. If he wanted to say it, of what you learned from me, he already said it in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. So and Paul was very explicit when he was saying, stay on what you learned from me. But now he says, continue the things that you have learned from childhood. Paul did not know Timothy when he was a child. So he's referring back to the things that his mother and his grandmother did for him, which was the teachings of the scriptures. So he says, but you must, and use emphasizing, Timothy, I'm departing. Now, basically, if you saw me as the leader of the Christian movement in the world, I'm going to be gone. I won't be the leader anymore. And you must continue. You yourself need to make sure that you continue in the Word of God, and He's going to end, because that's going to equip you to do everything that needs to be done. And when you think about your children, you won't be there in every decision that they make, but if they are equipped in the Word of God, they will be able to make mature decisions in every situation that they will face in life. The main thing is that the scriptures are given to them. And I'm not talking about a verse here and a verse there. I'm thinking as much knowledge of scriptures as you can give them. That's what we're talking about here. So continue in the things that you have learned and that you have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. See, these things that the word there you have been assured of is to be that you believe, that you are firmly persuaded and convinced. The reason why you have a sincere faith is because you know and you're convinced that what you have been taught is the truth. So continuing those things, and you know who you learned them from. You learned them from childhood, from your mother and your grandmother. Verse 15, and that from childhood, since from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. It's interesting that he uses the word adjective holy. This is the only place where we have the adjective holy for the Scriptures. But I think what he's trying to say is the divine writings. There are some documents that came directly from God and contain God's Word. There are many books about God, but there are some documents that are God's revelation. Those are, yes, they might be holy in the saying that they need to be treated with respect, but I think it's talking more about origin. These writings are directly from God, and you must continue on them, and you have known them since you were a child, these holy scriptures, because they are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, what is the benefit of teaching the scriptures to anybody? And this is what Paul is letting him know. I'm going to be gone, but if you continue in the scriptures, what you have learned, what your parents, at least what your mother and grandmother taught you, the opportunity for salvation. Without the scriptures, or without knowing from the scriptures, there is not that opportunity that for anybody to be saved. So it needs to come from the scriptures. So continue the scriptures, because that gives you the opportunity of salvation. In order to have salvation, there are two things that need to be present. One of them is the scriptures, the message from God. But the other thing is faith, and then he includes it there. You can have the scriptures, but if there is no trust in those scriptures, there is no salvation. You have to have both. And the faith could be like the agency through which salvation comes to a person, but basically it has to be the right faith. So you need to have the scriptures, and then you need to have faith in the scriptures. And the scriptures, the main point in the scriptures, and I was thinking, let's suppose that there were some mistakes in some of the documents we have here. Some of the heretics wrote some of the things they have there, and they put them in one of the books. Let's put it on John, or the end of Mark, or whatever they think it was an original. When you look at the whole of the scriptures, you realize there is a main theme. There is God as creator, man as responsible to God. There is sin coming into the world, man in a sinful state, and then God showing that there is a way to deal with sin. And then God telling us through different... So even if we were missing a book of the scriptures, like the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Matthew, you still would get the same message. Because it was revealed not to only one person, but throughout the whole length of the scriptures. And God sent different prophets, and we might be missing prophets, who knows. But the message is the same. There is a way to deal with sin. God, out of His mercy and grace, decides to deal with the problem of sins. He's going to send a man who will deal with the problem of sin. His name will be Wonderful Counselor. He, as we saw last week, there are many passages that say He's going to have divinity within Him. He was full of grace and truth. In the beginning was with God, and the Word was God. There are many other passages that talk about His divinity, and He created everything. Paul tells us in Colossians, and all things were made for Him, through Him, and by Him. That's in Romans and Colossians as well. So even if we're missing a letter from Paul, which I know we're missing 1 Corinthians 1, which is before the 1 Corinthians we have, and probably 3 Corinthians, and what we have is 2 and 4 Corinthians, but we call it 1 and 2. So there are many things. But the message of Scripture is there. There is a Savior that will deal with the problem of sin. God has to provide, God is providing that Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. So the only way to obtain that salvation is through Jesus Christ. This is Peter in the book of Acts, quoted by Luke. Nor there is salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So why should you, as a mother or father, spend time in the scriptures? Because you're giving your children an opportunity for salvation. Without the knowledge of the scriptures, there is not that opportunity. Now, faith has to join the knowledge of the scripture. But without the knowledge of the scripture, there cannot be salvation. And of course, without faith in the scriptures, cannot be salvation. Now, salvation doesn't come through good work, but is found in Christ, the only mediator between God and man. And then from there, as Paul, it's incredible, Paul is thinking about the faith of Timothy and also him departing and the sincere faith of his mother and grandmother. And because of that, he realizes even their faith is based on the scriptures. So now he gives us one of the greatest explanations, just like in, I guess, we were reading this morning Psalm 119, and it's great describing what the Word of God is. This is a similar or an equivalent in the New Testament, verse 16. Let me start in 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, and that word Scriptures, that is writings. Because then in verse 16 there is the word scripture again, and that's a different word. That's usually referred to the Bible. But the one in verse 15 is just the sacred documents which are able to make you wise. They give you understanding. They cause you to understand for salvation through, by the agency, by the means of faith, which is in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So, all the scripture is given by inspiration of God. What you have here basically is every writing that we recognize as divine writing has not originated with man. That's how Peter says it later. There is not scripture of private interpretation, but the origin and the source is God. And the word there is just like God breathed life into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living being. And just in the same way he breathes the scripture into the writers of the scriptures. And even though he uses humans to write the scriptures, they were inspired or breathed into, and this is the closest description that we have of this process. There is no closer description in the whole New Testament of how the Word of God came. But basically, just like God gives life and spirit to a living being, he sends the words and the message he wants to communicate to the writers of the scriptures. And even though it seems like it's coming from their hand as they write or from their mouth as they speak, actually the true origin is from God. And some people, this word only appears here in the scriptures. It doesn't appear in secular writings. Some people that think that Paul is just coining, what is it called? Coining the term for the first time, trying to explain what has happened. But the main point here of Paul is he's not trying to describe to us exactly the mystery of the writing of the scriptures. He's just explaining to Timothy what you learned when you were a child was the message and the words that came from God. And you need to continue in those. I'm going to be gone. In fact, we don't know if Timothy's mother and grandmother were still alive. He had been ministering with Paul for 20 years. So, and the last thing we know about Timothy is he was pastoring in Ephesus. He's probably receiving this letter in Ephesus. I don't know if his family moved to Ephesus or not. But regardless, what you have received, Timothy, that is the most valuable thing that you have received from your mother, is the scriptures, because they were breathed by God. It's the message that God has given. It's the message about salvation through faith in Christ. Christ means the one who was designated or appointed. And even his name is Jesus. He saves. Even the name of the Savior means God saves. That was his plan that all along. So every and each and every part of the scripture is given by inspiration of God. But also, he says, it's profitable for several things. When you are teaching your children the Word of God, it's not a waste of time. He says, it's profitable. The Scripture is advantageous. What you're giving them is something that is going to help them for life. And we're going to actually see how does it help them. But basically, he's going to give us four uses that the scripture has. When you give them a scripture, there are four different ways in which they are going to use it throughout their lives. But you need to make sure that they are understanding that this is not your ideas of how you should behave in the world, but this is God's ideas on how you will have success in the world. So what you're giving them is something really, as you say, the most valuable treasure that you can have. Because that's going to, as he says, they make you wise unto salvation, not only eternal salvation of the soul, but even it will protect them from many other things in life. The wages of sin is death. but there are many other consequences to sin in addition to death. So the four things that he's going to give them is the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, is advantageous, is beneficial, is useful for these things. The first thing is doctrine. The word doctrine is just means teaching, but the way that I try to put it there is I try to explain them. So I call it the basic instructions. The basic things that you need to teach your children about God. That's what the scriptures are good for. You need to teach them about creation, about sin, about God's provision for sin. What I just mentioned, that God has provided a provision from sin, who Christ is. Just reading the New Testament, reading the Old Testament, reading the letters, just basic instruction. But also it's good for examination and testing. Okay, you say you're a believer. Well, let's compare your life to what the Scripture says. And most of the time, we're still sinners, we will find that we're missing. So the second part is reproof after you test it. You test your life, and it could be self-examination or just group examination, but there is a testing that happens as you look at the Scriptures, because you just have to compare your life with what you see in the Scriptures, and then you are reproved. But then, once you're reproved, it would be really bad if you are just reproved and then there is nothing you can do about it. Oh man, I missed again, I failed, I'm not good. But the third thing that he gives us is good for rectification, to rectify, to correct what is wrong. Once you realize, okay, this is wrong, so even if you're gone and your children are by themselves, they are taken away, like Joseph. He was taken away from his family. The Scriptures can help them rectify when he's doing something, he does something wrong, and then he looks at the Scriptures like, oh, this is the way I need to act. And why do you respond to Scripture? Because you have a sincere faith that is the Word of God. And the last one is hard to see, but it says, forming healthy habits of behavior. Instruction in righteousness. Righteousness is doing what is right, doing what God has said is right, doing, having integrity, good behavior, or rightness. And the instruction that he's giving is actually the word for that we use for raising children, where you discipline them and training them. What you're doing with your children is you're giving them healthy habits. Yes, when you ask for something, you have to say please. When someone gives you something, you have to say thank you. No, you don't yell at mom, you use your lower voice. No, you don't hit your mom, you don't hit your dad. So what you're doing is you're training, and sometimes it involves paddling. But the Scripture does the same thing. It helps you form healthy habits of behavior. And a lot of people don't like the Scriptures because of the behavior that it makes people stop certain behaviors. It sets limits, and it makes you abstain from certain behaviors. But you have to do it or things don't work out. You have to control your anger because you cannot commit murder each time that you are upset. You have to control your desires because we're not entitled to have everything that we have or everything that everyone else has or everything we covet. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our sexuality. It's part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And we're not talking about, I mean, people here complain that you're trying to guard their sexuality in different ways. But even what they call heterosexuals, God put limits. And either you do it out of a sincere faith, and that's what the way it should be done, because that's what the Scripture does. It forms healthy habits of behavior. And basically, if you get out of those, you're going to problems. We cannot engage in every activity we imagine and not hurt ourselves and others in the process. And that's what we see every week in the news, every day in the news. There are different things that people have no control over. But the Scriptures train you in righteousness, in what is right. I mean, we are not perfect, but the more that we trust the Scriptures, that at least it's a great treasure that you're giving your children and your grandchildren. That's why Paul is going, Lois and Eunice gave you a great thing, and you need to continue in those things, Timothy, because it's training you in these habits of behavior. Later, in the next chapter, Paul is going to apply it to the church, but now he's applying it actually to Timothy himself from what he learned from his mother and grandmother, from the teaching of these two women. This is not the pastor's teaching, or it's the teaching, and it's not because it was these two women or the pastor, it's because it's the Word of God. And one of my goals here is for you to be able to understand the Word of God, because I cannot be policing you around and even I don't police myself very well. But it is the word of God that has to change your heart. It's the one that is going to reprove you. If that's where you test yourself, it's what gives you the basic instruction. It's what helps you rectify the way that you're going. And it's what is going to help you form those healthy habits. How are we going to guard our children to make decisions that will protect them and make them beneficial members of their society and their country? Well, it's through the scriptures. They need to know that they are not completely independent and accountable to no one, but they are accountable to their Creator. They need to enjoy life within the order that the Creator has set for His creation, for all creatures to enjoy. They need to recognize who God is and that all life and every good gift comes from Him, not from what you plan and scheme to be able to enjoy as you hurt yourself and you hurt others. So, I would call this verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And some people call this the sufficiency of the scriptures. In some ways to describe it is, the scriptures contain all the information that a person needs. For what? To competently meet all the demands of life. There are different demands you're going to have, and it's going to be different from each person. But the training that the scriptures give you, if you are trained in righteousness, you will be able to competently meet those demands. And that's why if you teach the scriptures to your children, you are giving them a great tool. Yes, they are going to have frustration in life and not everything will go their way. And things, they will want some things that God said you can't have that. And that's right. But by teaching the scriptures and teaching them to trust them, you're making them competent to deal with that and then get over it. Okay, I can't have it. That's right, that's what God says, that's what I'm going to do. So basically, and when different, you deal with different decisions, they will deal with different decisions, their own set, we don't know what's in the future, but by giving them the scriptures as a mother and a father, you're helping them to competently meet all the demands. Again, let me read verse 17, that the man of God, and here is man or woman, the person, the individual that belongs to God, that claims to be devout because he's following and trusting the scriptures, may be complete, fully qualified, perfectly proficient, and also not only he will be able to deal with decisions, but then he will become a beneficial member of society. Instead of creating problems for himself and others, he's actually going to be able to help others because he knows what the right thing to do is. And even a lot of the things that our society enjoys have come from the, whether or not everybody's a Christian or not, a lot of the things that are done right in society have come from the knowledge of the scriptures. That have come, not complete knowledge, but partial knowledge, and we're enjoying those benefits even within our own society. So, when it says that he might be thoroughly equipped, that he will be completely qualified for every good work, I would say for every kind of good work. He might not do, we will not do every good work that there is to do, because then no one else will be able to do them. But you're training your children so that they in the future, whatever good work will come to their path, they'll be able to, oh, I'll be able to help here, or I'll be able to help this other person. And why? Because of the knowledge of the scriptures? You mean this is what the scriptures can do? We're not supposed to be able to give everything to our children, everything that money can buy. You might not. But you might not to be able to teach them all the math that there is to be learned. Or there is to know. You might not be able to teach them all the science that there is to know, or all the languages that they need to know. but you can help them become a beneficial, productive member of society through the teaching of the scriptures. And this can be done by fathers or mothers. In this case, it was a mother and a grandmother. And faith comes from the hearing the word of God. And when we're talking about instructing the next generations in the scriptures, again, it's not talking about just one verse here, one verse there, but you want to give them as much knowledge as you can. As the more, each time you have an opportunity, you should try to use it to teach what you know about the scriptures. We might go. The principles are there, and they are true. Some mothers without without the knowledge of the scriptures gave horrible advice to their children. Just from the scriptures, they got probably the worst. But and in turn, it became destructive rather than beneficial. Basically, Micah's mother, Book of Judges, they made a carved silver image with the money that the mom, well, first he stole it and then he gave it back, he repented, and the mom had put a curse on the stealer and on the person, on the robber, who's, and then it was her son, and then they made an image with part of the money. And that image became the idol for a whole tribe, the tribe of Dan. Chapter 17, just because of this mother's way that he handled the money. Athaliah to his son, he gave him, verse 22, chapter 2 Corinthians 22:2, he taught him how to act wickedly against the principles of the word of God, and he only was king for a year. God took him. And then Herodias, she had a girl that could dance, and she basically taught her daughter that murder was a way to deal with those who get in your way. And, but many people say, well, I just don't do harmful things because I don't want to do them. Okay, I'll buy that. But feelings change. Sometimes you will feel like doing bad things. Other people don't get in trouble because they haven't had the chance or the means to get in trouble. The problem is when the desire, the idea, or the invitation to get into trouble comes. What is going to stop your son or your daughter from getting in trouble and hurting others? And it should be God's wisdom, that they know the right way to proceed, that they have been trained in righteousness. Of course, sometimes they won't have the opportunity to steal or whatever, but if the opportunity shows up, what is going to stop them from acting according to their sinful nature is the instruction of the Word of God. Just to end, examples of mothers who gave wise advice to their children because they have knowledge of the Scriptures. Proverbs 6, my son, keep your father's command and don't forsake the law. And notice here, the mother is setting certain directions, the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, when you go around, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. They will keep you. When you're awake, they will speak with you. Even when you're gone, the teaching of the scriptures will be their guide because the scriptures still speak. They're God-breathed. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. And the reproofs of instruction, when you realize, oops, I did the wrong thing, I'm so sorry, they are the way of life, to keep you from when the evil woman comes knocking at his door, they will keep you from the evil woman and from the flattering tongue, because the word of God will talk to you, the tongue of a seductress. It's interesting, and I just, there are several passages in the scripture that were spoken or given by a woman. And when you think about Proverbs 31, you always think about the woman of Hiel, the virtuous, thank you, the virtuous woman. But actually, I want to read you the first part, which are the words of a mother to a king. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, just like Timothy. What, my son, and what, son of my womb? and what some of my vows. Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. Notice, it's either you are beneficial or you destroy yourself or destroy others. It's not for kings, Olemoel, to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicated drink, and that's a different drunk. Lest they drink, and here's the bad thing, they forget the law. They pervert, instead of being beneficial, they pervert justice of all the afflicted. Give the strong drink to the one who is perishing, and the wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. But you, my son, open your mouth for the speechless. Do good. Learn to do good in society and in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Now, when we read those words, then we can see, okay, this is a mother speaking what she knows about what is right to his son. And the last two passages, when just going Proverbs 31, something about the virtuous woman is that she opens her mouth with wisdom. How does she get the wisdom? From the knowledge of the scripture, from knowing what is right, what God has said is right. Her tongue is, in her tongue is the law of kindness. Another encouragement for women and men too. Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give the light to your soul. It is important to do correction and reproof, and the word of God is the best way to obtain that. So, do you want to be a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather that has mature children and grandchildren equipped to carry out all kinds of good deeds? Do you want them to be equipped to, how did I put it before, to be able to face all the situations that they will come to them in their lives with success? To be able to meet all the demands that life will put on them and be ready for them? Teach them the scriptures. But if you don't trust in the scriptures yourself, how are they going to get that? How is your faith? Is your faith sincere? If you have a sincere faith in the scriptures, of course you will be able to speak of them as what they are. And again, it's not whether you believe that God exists, it's whether you believe if that the scriptures, the holy scriptures, and Paul was trying to make a difference, the divine writings and documents, do you believe that they are the word of God and they need to be trusted? And if you do, then you should continue in them. That was the charge to Timothy. So, how are you showing that faith in God? Do you believe that they can make you wise for salvation by faith in Jesus Christ? And then, are you instructing those whom you care about? That's the way that you show your sincere faith. And I want to challenge you this morning to be like Lois and Eunice and teach children and grandchildren the Word of God. If you never heard of the benefits of knowing Scripture and you would like to become a man or a woman of God, a devout person, you can become a devout person this morning. It's not what you do, but it's just by trusting in the salvation that is provided in the Scriptures. Ask and thank God for that salvation that He has provided, and start learning from the Scripture to get the wisdom from God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will give us understanding and help us to meditate in what we have looked at this morning, the example of these two women who trusted you. And they believed that what you had given us was true. So they taught it to Timothy. And then as Paul looked at it, he encourages Timothy and indirectly to each one of us to trust in your word. To be able to look at your word and come to it, because we know that we need to change. We need to be instructed. We need to correct our path, and we also need to be disciplined in good habits, Lord. I pray that you will help us to be obedient according to, and that you will give us a sincere faith as well to every mother and father here, and grandmother and grandfather, and even to children who one day will become themselves parents. May you be glorified as we trust in the scriptures every step of our lives, Lord, and knowing that it is not what we can provide, but what you have provided for us to share, which is the scriptures. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.